This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa bihi nasta'een. Wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala afdalil khalqi ajma'een. Nabina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'een. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddini wa ba'd. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all, and may he bless every single one of us. Brothers and sisters, again another beautiful evening from amongst the eves of the month of Ramadan. We don't know how many we will be seeing still. It's important for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's important for us to soften our hearts. It's important for us to eradicate the evil qualities that we may have within our hearts. For indeed, these golden moments and opportunities are very rare. They are to be treasured by those who truly believe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that conviction. Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the very opening verses clarifies a statement after what the kuffar of Quraysh had been uttering against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is reported in Tafsir ibn Kathir as well as Tafsir al-Tabari, narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says that when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented his prophethood and he presented the message to the people of Quraysh, and the kuffar heard what he had to say, they started finding fault in what he came with. Not only what he came with, but even himself. They started saying things, and they knew that he was the best of the lot. Part of what they said was, "It is strange for the Lord of the worlds to decide to send to us a messenger who is just one of us, who has come as a human being from amongst us to us. If he wanted, he would have sent an angel from heaven. Why is it that he sent a human being?" We need to stop for a minute and we need to go back to look at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was no ordinary human being. He was the best of creation. He was the top of the lot. He was the best of all those to tread the earth, all those to exist, higher than the status of the highest of angels, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's not just an ordinary human being, but yes indeed, he was human. At the same time, he was the highest. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the understanding. The kuffar of Quraysh could not even acknowledge that much. They said, "He is one of us. He was a child who was an orphan. He was not that wealthy. He didn't really own much. He wasn't a chief in society." Not realizing he was always honest, trustworthy. He was blemish free. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us lead lives that would inshallah be at least blemish free to a great degree. We ask Allah to grant us forgiveness wherever we have faltered. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this. Verse number 2, Surah Yunus.
أَكَانَ لِلنَّاسِ عَجَبًا أَنْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَنْ أَنذِرِ النَّاسَ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنَّ لَهُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ قَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَسَاحِرٌ مُّبِينٌ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did they find it strange? Did the people, were they amazed by the fact that we chose from amongst them one to come to them to warn them? That is not strange for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is up to Allah. He decides, he chooses whom he will send to remind you, to remind me. Sometimes a reminder comes to me from someone younger than me. Sometimes a reminder will come to you from a person who might not even be so steadfast on the path, but on that particular item they may be right. For example, we might be doing something wrong in our lives, and here you have a drunkard coming and saying, "Hey brother, you are the one who is doing this and doing that, and that's very, very bad." Wallahi, if we are to discount his statement based on the fact that he's a drunkard, yet he was right, we are losers. This is why we need to know, in Islam, what is right on merit, not based on who brought it to you. No matter who brought it to you, if it's correct, it's a fact. Even if your enemy comes and corrects you, trust me, that is a correction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand. The kuffar of Quraysh, they had a problem. They were proud. They were arrogant. They were saying, why isn't it from our family? Why isn't it from this guy? Why didn't Allah send someone great? In fact, later on, Allah makes mention of how they started saying it should have been a powerful man. It should have been a big leader. It should have been someone else. One from the big, big cities. You know, there were two powerful cities nearby. The city of Mecca and the city of Taif. So do you know what the kuffar said? Another problem.
وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ
They said, why didn't Allah send this Qur'an down upon one man from the cities? A powerful person from amongst these who are in the two cities, Makkah and Taif. Why did Allah have to choose such a man? So Allah replies, you know what Allah says?
أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ
Are they the ones who choose how to distribute the mercy of Allah? If Allah wants to give someone, He will give. No matter what color they are, what tribe they belong to, where they come from. No matter what. If He wants, He will give. It's not up to you. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and may He open our doors. You can have a child who might be from a family from the poorest region of the globe. If Allah wants to give him status and rank and knowledge and power and wealth and anything else, it's up to Allah alone. Nobody has a choice in that regard. So Allah says, are they the ones who are in charge of distributing the mercy of Allah? Allah says,
نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا
We are the ones who distributed their livelihood among them in this world. And that is a test for them to see whom from amongst them mocks the other and whom from amongst them is steadfast and so on. It's Allah's decision completely. This is why you find some people are extremely intelligent. When they were at school, they used to rattle all the A's. But when they grow older, a person who might have failed 10 times in primary school is now the multi-millionaire. And the guy who had the top results is struggling to find a job. May Allah grant us goodness. It shows. Sometimes you have a person, he doesn't have qualifications, but he's wealthy, he's happy. That's Allah's choice. Allah is showing you, it's got nothing to do with you. Very little to do with what you have to actually apply in terms of your effort. But it's got to do with us. If we want, we can give you. You need to be happy with your portion. Now, before we go to the next verse, I want to stop and I want to press a red button. A lot of us, when we are told what is right by the ulama, we tend to want to find fault with the alim or with the scholar rather than change our lives. Because for us, we have a very commercialized way of looking at things. That if I am to change my whole life because of what the scholar is telling me, it's going to be very difficult. But if I have to swipe at the scholar, it's going to be easy. I'm going to get big support and we can silence him. So if the scholar comes up and speaks about interest, speaks about halal and haram, speaks about struggle in the cause of Allah, speaks about the dress code, speaks about alcohol, speaks about upright business dealings, those from amongst us who are wealthy, rather than say, oh Allah, forgive me, strengthen me, grant me strength, we say, I'm going to fix this guy. Why is he talking? I'm going to sort him out. We will go to the masjid, go to the committee and tell them, silence this man. We don't want to hear this. Wallahi, that was a disease of the kuffar of Quraysh. And it's been a disease ever since in the hearts of those whom shaitan tries to entrap. Don't allow shaitan to trap you. You'd rather say, alhamdulillah, I'm weak. I've made a mistake. This man is right. No matter how much I dislike the directness, but wallahi, it was a mercy of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Sometimes we have problems in our homes, with our in-laws, with our spouses. We hate to be told that we are wrong. It's a fact. We want to be told the other party is wrong. We hate to be told, correct yourself, watch out. But to be honest, let's not stoop as low as the kuffar of Quraysh to start finding fault in that which was a message for our own betterment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct us. What a beautiful lesson. Then we have verse number 15 of the same surah, Surah Yunus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of something quite similar again. According to the tafsir of Mujahid, the mushrikeen of Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the verses of the Quran to them, they went to him and they told him, you know what? Bring us a different Quran. We've heard this, what you're reading, we've heard it. We want something else where you can accommodate us as well. You know, we have Allat, we have Al-Uzza, we worship these idols, we try, you know, to maintain the status quo, we try to protect what our forefathers used to believe. So we don't have a problem with the Quran, but we want you to add a little bit in it. Come with something else where you can accommodate what we have to say. Whoa, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Sometimes you have a scholar and he's speaking and people go to him and say, you know what, I think maybe you shouldn't be saying this. Perhaps you should do this. Perhaps you should. If we are trying to add and subtract in the deen, we are wrong. If we are trying to advise and encourage and perhaps speak of the various methods of getting the message across, alhamdulillah, no problem. But you cannot change the deen and the religion to suit you. You have to change yourself to suit the deen. Let me give you one prime example. If you look at the heavenly scriptures, we believe in the Torah, the Bible. We believe in the previous scriptures, the Psalms of David, may peace be upon him. We believe that these scriptures came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we also believe that they were tempered with. The only scripture that we believe is not tempered with, it is in its pristine form, is the Quran. One simple reason, and we are going to draw a lesson from these two verses, is when it comes to the Quran, we were taught, O mankind, instead of adjusting the word of Allah to suit you, adjust yourself to understand the word of Allah. What the previous nations did, they adjusted the word of Allah for them to understand. So they lost the original because the interpretations, they drowned in them. What we are taught to do is adjust yourself so you can understand the word of Allah, learn the Arabic language so that you can understand the word of Allah. And if you do not know it, then the bare minimum is whenever the Quran is being written, make sure the Arabic is on one side because that is the word of Allah. As for the rest of the languages, it is an attempt of man to try and explain to you what he believes is the closest to that which refers to the meaning of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. That's what a translation is. It's not the word of Allah, it's a translation. The word of Allah is the Arabic language. So why I've said this is because whenever it comes to religious rulings, whenever it comes to the deen, remember it cannot be changed. No matter how the world changes, the word of Allah will not be changed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand, and may He help us adjust to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather than falling prey, just like shaitan entrapped those before us where they adjusted the word in order to suit them wherever they wanted to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 15, Surah Yunus,
وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا إِيتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهُ قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي.
When the verses of the Quran were recited to them, those who did not look forward to the last day, to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come with another Quran or change it. Change it to accommodate us. Allah says, tell them, it is not up to me to come with changes in the Quran from myself. None of these verses are from me. They are in fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the understanding. The next surah, Surah Hud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of so many interesting and important points. We will actually speak of a narration mentioned in Tafsir al-Tabari by Abdullah ibn Shaddad radiallahu anhu. He speaks about how there were people who used to be hypocritical, passing bad comments against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his absence, they used to say a lot of bad things. Now, pause for a moment. If you have someone talking bad about you a lot, and they speak really bad behind your back, when they come in your presence, how would they be? They would try and duck and dive. That's the word we use, isn't it? Because they don't want to see your face. They have this guilty conscience because they know they've been talking bad about you. The fact that they speak bad about you, they feel guilty in themselves that I don't want to see this person. How am I going to face them? They cannot look you in the eye because they know they are guilty. Imagine they did that to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They spoke against him behind his back. And when they used to pass him, they used to cover themselves. They used to turn their chest. They used to quietly go away. You know, they used to duck and dive. Literally, these were hypocrites. Those who were true believers, they loved looking at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would go, they would greet, they would spend time, they would learn, they would be corrected, they would listen to revelation, they would pass the message. Let us be genuine, my brothers and sisters. Let's be genuine to one another. When I see you, I want to look at you. I want to greet you. I want to smile at you. I want to be able to tell you that I love you for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to have a grudge and a gripe in my heart where there is hypocrisy. I don't like you, but I'm smiling at you saying, Salaamu Alaikum. Have you seen that? They call it a plastic smile, mashallah. Broad smile from ear to ear. Salaam, my brother. And he hates your guts. May Allah forgive us. Is that a Muslim? But this is what we're doing today. This is what we're doing. We have no shame whatsoever. Sort your matters out. I'd rather tell you, Assalamu alaikum, my brother, look, we have something to sort out here. Can we speak? Subhanallah. Wallahi, it's better to be genuine and have an expression that is somber on your face than to have hypocrisy with an expression that seems to be eclipsing everything that is under discussion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. So they used to turn away their chests, hiding from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them that when you cover yourselves with your clothes in the night as well, Allah knows what is inside, what you are covering, what you are hiding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows absolutely everything. So this verse, verse number 5 of Surah Hud, there are several narrations that have been made mention of regarding some of the benefits of the surah, some of the reasons of revelation, as well as a few of the stories surrounding the surah. But I've chosen a specific one and I've made mention of it. It's in Tafsir al-Tabari. And the reason is the lesson is great. When they used to pass Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to duck and dive. And Allah is telling them,
أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ يَثْنُونَ صُدُورَهُمْ لِيَسْتَخْفُوا مِنْهُ أَلَا حِينَ يَسْتَغْشُونَ ثِيَابَهُمْ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ.
Behold, they used to turn away their chests to hide from him. Allah says, they need to know unquestionably that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what they hide and what they disclose, even at the darkest times of the night when they are covering themselves with their own clothing. The lesson. The lesson is that nobody can hide from Allah. You can hide from people, you can cheat someone, you cannot cheat Allah. Allah knows hypocrisy. Allah knows the condition of your heart. So try and strengthen yourself. Try and make yourself a person whom what you see is what you get. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And may we be genuine people. May we as an ummah learn to love one another for the sake of the fact that we share La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there is a very interesting narration which affects every one of us. We are human beings. People sin. And when they sin, they say, I'm only a human. Have you heard that before? They say, I'm only a human. I'm not an angel. I'm sinful. My brothers and sisters, we are sinful. Yes. Kullu bani Adam khata. Every son of Adam sins. Every human being sins. But what we need to know, do not justify the sin by saying, I'm human. It's okay. It's not okay. You are human. Yes, you may falter. But go back to Allah. So Allah says, I have a plan in place. Listen to Allah's plan. It is so merciful, so beautiful, so amazing. It shows how loving Allah is. Allah says, whenever you've made mistakes, when you do a good deed after that mistake, the mistake gets wiped out without you even realizing. أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, follow up your bad deeds with lots of good deeds and the bad deeds will be wiped out. Here we are talking of minor sins because there are major sins. A major sin requires specific repentance. A person who's committed adultery, a person who's consumed alcohol, a person who's done something really nasty and bad, a person who's, for example, skipped a salah. May Allah never ever let that happen to us. But that would require specific repentance. You cannot just say, okay, we were taught that I can just now start being good and I can forget about the past. You can forget about the minor sins, but the major ones, no, no. You need to repent and then you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, to help you not to repeat them. Then you can be, inshallah, calm that Allah's mercy will engulf you by His goodness. So when a person commits a sin, they would continue. Like for example, the hadith says, if you read Salatul Jumu'ah properly, correctly, and you read the next Jumu'ah, in between you've read all your salah, but you make sure you've read the Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out all the minor sins between the two Jumu'ahs. Did you know that? The same applies to Umrah. You make an Umrah, you make another Umrah,
Allah wipes the minor sins, even those you don't know about. Do you know, we live in an environment that sometimes walking on the street, you don't know you're sinning. You look left, there's a sin. You look right, there's a sin. You're thinking it's sinful. You're looking at your phone, it's a sin. You look at the billboard, it's a sin. Sometimes we live in a society today where it's difficult. It's really hard. And Allah knows this. And Allah knows it's not your intention. Nobody goes and looks at a billboard and sits there admiring the woman on the billboard. That's just a tire that they're selling, perhaps Dunlop or something else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So my brothers and sisters, these type of sins, they are forgiven. The next salah that you read, what's happened between the two is wiped out by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a narration, muttafaqun alayh, by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And this narration has been mentioned by many different sahaba. In fact, in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, they have a few different riwayat. There is a riwayah of Abu Umama, riwayah of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, ibn Abbas, Buraydah, radiallahu anhum jami'an. So many narrations. So it is absolutely authentic. They say there was a man, and he happened to touch a woman. He kissed her. And he happened to, without having got to adultery itself, but he regretted it. You know, he met her, something happened, he touched her, he kissed her, and he regretted it badly, but he did not commit the act itself. And so he came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "O Messenger, I have committed the sin. This is what I did." And he explained it. According to the narration of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was there, and he said, "Hey, Allah covered you. Why are you exposing yourself?" Subhanallah. You learn a lot from the statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Allah covers us, my brothers and sisters, in order that we be forgiven. We go and repent to Allah. We don't need to confess. We are not people who belong to a faith whereby you need to go and confess your sins to a person who's even more sinful than you are, but you don't know. We don't belong to faiths where you need to go to another human being just because he has a beard and he stands in the front and you need to tell him whatever you've done in terms of sin. Who is he? With us, we are Muslimin. Your sin is your secret between you and Allah. You cry in the corners of the night and you ask Allah's forgiveness and He wipes it out completely. It is never to be thought about again. Don't even doubt the fact that you've been forgiven once you've asked Allah's forgiveness. One of Shaitan's traps, my brothers and sisters, is to make you think that you're not forgiven after you've asked Allah's forgiveness. That's an insult to Allah. When Allah says, "Inna Allah yaghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'a," indeed Allah will forgive every single sin of yours. Then Shaitan comes and says, no, not you. This was a little bit too far. It's not too far for Allah. You repented, it's over. You start a new leaf today, here and now. That's it, I've got a new life. But the problem with us, we say, "No, I'm going to repent, I'm still okay." Then your knees start aching, you say, "I'm still okay." Then you clock 50, "I'm still okay." And then you clock 60, you think, "No, I think I've got a few more years. I'll repent 65, 63, gone. May Allah not do that to us. May Allah make us from among those who can repent even when we are young. Young, healthy, bubbling with your bursting energy. And you say, "Oh Allah, forgive me. Let me use my energy in the right direction. Let me use it for salah, for zakah, for various good things." This is the way forward, my brothers and sisters. So this man, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, tells him, "Allah covered you. Why you want to expose yourself?" Now obviously he heard this, the Prophet ﷺ heard it, everyone heard it. Nabi ﷺ was quiet. He didn't say anything. The man came, he didn't commit adultery, but he committed everything that led to adultery. And he repented. It happened once and he was very, very sad and he wanted forgiveness. And he's coming to say, "Cleanse me, do whatever you have to." So a little bit later, a verse was revealed and Rasulullah ﷺ read this verse, number 114 of Surah Hud. أقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. Establish your prayer at the two ends of the day and at nightfall. Fulfill your prayer for the sake of Allah. All your prayers, the prayers in the morning, the prayers in the evening, the prayers in the middle of the day, the prayers at all the times, that which needs to be established, and even that which is voluntary, over and above that which is compulsory, establish your prayers at the two ends of the day and at nightfall. And you should know that indeed your good deeds will wipe out your sins automatically. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Amazing. Your good deeds wipe out your sins. And Allah says, ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى. That is a reminder for those who want to be reminded. You want to be reminded? Well, tell yourself, I keep on doing good deeds. And this is why, brothers and sisters, your charities, your good deeds, your dhikr, your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your recitation of the Quran, the softening of your heart, the tears that roll down your eyes, do you know how powerful they are? If you cry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a warm tear, that tear will bear witness on the day of judgment, such that the hadith says, a person who cried solely for the sake of Allah will be called out to be from amongst the 7 categories of people who will be granted VIP status on the day of judgment, a special shaded area for them that no one else will have. Because you cried for Allah. My brothers and sisters, Allah is loving. Allah is merciful. Allah knows the pressure of society, environment, and Allah knows the community you're living in, and He knows your struggle. But that does not mean you need to say, we just heard today, Allah knows my struggle. I can sin. He knows that, you know, that's what it is. That's not how we should be looking at life. Life should be looked at more seriously. But where you faltered, where human nature has made you fall, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Beautiful verses. Now we have the lovely surah of the Quran. If I were to ask a lot of you, what's your favorite story in the Quran? What would you say? Surah Yusuf. See, we've heard that, mashallah. Surah Yusuf. It's a surah, the Prophet Joseph, may peace be upon him, his story is mentioned in the most beautiful way. From the beginning of the surah, right up to the end of the surah. Top of the story to the end of the story, in order. It's one of the only stories in the Quran that happens with. If you look at the story of Musa alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, the others, it's all scattered in the Quran. Yusuf alayhi salam, concentrated one place. Here it is. You want to hear? Start off. So how did it come about? Don't you want to know? How did Allah decide, okay, I want to reveal this? It's the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is reported, and this is a hadith made mention of in the Al-Mustadrak of Al-Imam Hakim. Hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. He says, at the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reading the Quran. And after some time, the people said, we would like to hear some speech. We would like to hear some speech. Meaning we want to hear some speech. What is the speech? This is all the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah revealed verses. Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith. Allah has revealed the best of speech. Hadith. The best of words. That of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it? Kitaban mutashabihan mathani. A book. That is the Quran. Which has similar verses. Mutashabih means it has similar verses. You know, Ghafurur Rahim appears so many times. Ala kulli shayin qadir appears so many times. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu appears so many times. It has similar verses for the reasons that Allah knows best. And we know we need reminders. So if I were to tell you something once, sometimes it's not enough. When I was young, my dad used to say, if I tell you once, it's enough. When I grew a little bit older, I had a reply. I said, but Allah tells us about 10 times. Allahu Akbar, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors and grant us ease. You know, when we become a little bit more intelligent and as we grow, we like to find excuses for not having listened to what we were told. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So Allah says, kitaban, it's a book that has verses that are similar. Mutashabihan, mathani. Mathani means repeated. So there are certain verses you repeat a lot. Like we said, Surah Fatiha, it's repeated so much. Some of the shorter surahs, we repeat them a lot. Some of the verses we repeat. And some of the verses themselves, they are repeated in different places in the Quran. That is all the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows why He said it several times in different places. Same wording, different wording, all up to Him. So He says, تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. Those who fear their Rabb, they develop goosebumps when they hear the words of Allah. It means the skin tightens. You know, when your hair stands, you hear the words of Allah. So Allah is describing Ahsan al-Hadith, the best of speech. And Allah says, here it is, it's the book that has this type of verses. And the skins of those who fear their Rabb would actually develop goosebumps when they hear this recitation. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And as a result thereafter, the skin softens out and the heart is inclined towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the effect. It starts off listening, similar verses. It has an impact, developing goosebumps. And when the goosebumps are gone, you find your heart is now softened. That's the description of the Quran. And it is accurate. The believers know, we all know the impact of this powerful Quran. After some time, Ibn Abi Hatim makes mention of an addition to the hadith, and he says, they said, لَوْ ذَكَّرْتَنَا, we would like to hear some type of a reminder. So another verse was revealed.
أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ.
Has the time not come for the true believers to soften their hearts towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which has been revealed in terms of the truth? How did we start today's session? We said the days are numbered, didn't we? We said, let's soften up, let's not wait forever. Let's turn to Allah before it is too late. That's exactly what this verse says. Has the time not come for the true believers to soften their hearts towards the remembrance of Allah and what has been revealed in terms of the truth? How long do you want before you're going to turn to Allah? Ask yourself. You are engaged in a sin. How many more years do you want to continue in that sin? Or are you going to turn to Allah? If you are going to turn to Allah, when is the question? How many more reminders do you want? That is a question. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. And the last part of the narration is where Surah Yusuf comes in. They asked, لَوْ قَصَصْتَ. They said, would you not tell us a story? Tell us a story. Amazing. So Allah says,
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ.
We will relate to you the best of stories in this revelation of the Quran. Here it is. And then the entire Surah Yusuf was revealed in its completeness. We need to know one thing. The stories of the prophets were revealed in Makkatul Mukarramah mostly. All the time you see the name of a prophet in a surah, you can almost close your eyes and say this verse or the surah was revealed in Makkatul Mukarramah. Inshallah, tomorrow when we commence, perhaps we'll start with the reason why. Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.